And with us is Alex Bainbridge. Alex, lovely
good
to have
morning.
You.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. So Alex is a longtime socialist activist. He is just an all-rounder, just fabulous person. And but today, Alex, we're going to have a bit of a chat about One Nation and the Liberals being even more right-wing than they usually are.
Indeed, we will.
Yes. So, so really good to have you. And, thanks for joining us so early on a Friday morning. We really appreciate it. There's been lots happening in the media with, unsurprisingly, but, some comments made by Senator Pauline Hanson, which were pretty awful about Muslims, which I'm not going to repeat here unless Alex feels the need to, but and then the Liberals made a recent announcement as well. So can you tell us about the projected rise in support for One Nation and what it means for Australian politics, Alex?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously people that follow these things and even probably people that don't will probably realise that One Nation has had a dramatic increase in the opinion polls over the last little while. Like, I mean, at the time of the last federal election, they were getting 6%. And over most of their history, the One Nation has had under 5% of the national vote. Whereas now, there are quite a few polls now that have come out with One Nation over 20%, and including one very recently, or at one point before Angus Taylor took on the Liberal leadership, One Nation was ahead of the Liberal National Coalition in, or at least the Liberal Party, in one of the polls. So, I mean, like, that is quite dramatic and it is quite serious. I mean, One Nation has always been at the very far right wing of Australian politics and has been the vehicle by which the major parties, Labor and Liberal, have been, you know, dragged to the right. And I think there's lots of illustrations of that, but right at the very beginning when Pauline Hanson first came on the scene, some of the policies that she was putting forward about refugees, at the time, the Liberal Immigration Minister, Philip Ruddock, he was basically saying things like, oh, no, there's no way that the Liberals could ever support anything like that. I mean, that was things like boat turnbacks and offshore detention. And then literally within a couple of years, those things that Philip Ruddock had said could never be something the Liberal Party would support became official Liberal Party policy, and in fact became government policy and were policies that were implemented. So I think that's an illustration of, you know, Pauline Hanson dragging politics to the right. I think the other thing which I would say about that is that it's very much in the context where the establishment media profiles One Nation in a way that is much more than they deserve, given their own support base. So, and that is because the establishment media, which is part of the establishment, which is part of the system of, you know, capitalist power that, you know, that seeks to control us all, they want people who are looking for an alternative to the major parties to look towards the right rather than to the left. And so that's why even when they are denouncing Pauline Hanson, which oftentimes the establishment media are, they are covering her, which basically gives people the implicit or sometimes the explicit message, One Nation is the alternative. Yep. And that's because they know that far right-wing politics are not actually an alternative. It's a sort of it's a dead-end pseudo-alternative that basically is going to just drag mainstream politics to the right. So, there has been a real rise in support for One Nation, at least in the opinion polls, and that is a scary development for politics in general. But I guess I would caution not to be too worried about that, because it's really the impact is going to be really decided by what happens at the by what happens in, you know, from the Labor Party government and in particular what happens on the left.
Yeah, good morning, Alex. It's Mary here. I was just going to add to what you were saying about how the media is sort of normalising Pauline Hanson and One Nation, and There's, you know, making her seem almost likable by having her on shows like Dancing with the Stars. I haven't seen any socialist or communist leaders on Dancing with the Stars because obviously the media doesn't want to, you know, project us as being likable people. But anyway, that's not my question. I was just going to add to what you were saying.
Yeah.
So my question is more about what do you think about the current state of the Liberal Party, and yeah, and are they going to make a really hard right turn? What, how do you think they're going to go ahead from here?
Well, look, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I don't really want to make a prediction about what the future of the Liberal Party could hold. I mean, there obviously are a number of options. I mean, the Liberals could just collapse into and One Nation could become the main force on the right in Australian politics. The Liberals could make it, you know, turn to the hard right under Angus Taylor or Andrew Hastie or somebody else. You know, I guess in the way that Peter Dutton was projecting and could easily have happened had Peter Dutton won the last election. You know, or else the coalition could just be in, you know, disarray and keep on squabbling between their sort of so-called moderate and their sort of, you know, ultra far right sort of factions. I mean, all these things are possible, and the coalition could get it together, you know, against One Nation, and they could be replaced by One Nation. And I mean, all these things are possible. And I don't particularly want to make a prediction. I think the main thing that I would caution about is that, I mean, you see in the media a lot of coverage of the coalition at a time when their actual input in politics is very minimal. I mean, they got so few seats in federal parliament, they're very unlikely to win a federal election in the next, you know, sitting on the next election, and probably even the one after that. But given how politically divided they are, and how they don't, you know, they don't have very many seats. So there's this inordinate coverage by the media about what's happening in the coalition. Who's really going to be? What's their latest opinion poll? Who's something this? You know, has Susan Lee been given enough? You know, of a go? All these kinds of things. And I think that's the same thing. I mean, the Liberal Party is a long-term establishment institution, and I can't see that they want to just give that up very, very quickly and easily. So therefore they're giving a lot of coverage. But I mean, I think from our point of view, there's two things. One, on the left, our job is not to give advice to the right. And I mean, look, you know, the more far right and kooky the right wing, the prominent right wing forces are, that isn't a good thing for us. I mean, we don't want politics to move to the right. We don't want, you know, far right wing forces to have more influence and control. But we also, you know, it's not up to us to tell the right how they're going to behave. They're going to behave the way they're going to behave. And our job is to actually build a left wing alternative. And actually, you know, as far as possible, to put pressure on the Labor Party not to sort of go down that right wing direction. And so yeah, it's not about us giving advice to the right, or even in some ways, yeah, we don't want them to be far right, but also, you know, the right wing is always going to exist, and the future of politics is going to be determined by how much resistance we can build on the left. The second thing I'd say, which I possibly should have said before, is that partly, you know, we're living a bit in uncharted territory because the system that we live in, capitalism, is in this big crisis, which is why far-right forces like, you know, the MAGA Republicans have basically taken over the Republicans in the United States, and the Reform Party, which is a sort of far-right-wing, you know, Pauline Hanson-like party in Britain, has now been like a long way ahead in the opinion polls, ahead of any other party. So in some ways, actually worse than what we've got in Australia. And there's other examples in other countries. What these reflect is that we had 4 decades of neoliberalism, and standard kind of right-wing, you know, capitalist ideas don't cut it anymore. Mm. You can't actually continue to advance this policy of just attack against ordinary people, against living standards, against people's right to buy, to be able to live in a home they can afford. You can't have this constant attack on all these things, and then just expects to be able to advance those things with the normal standard capitalist arguments and rationale, which is why these sort of far right wing forces have seemed more credible, seem more plausible, partly because they're promoted, by the establishment media.
Yeah.
And partly because you just can't.
Well, a lot of people are seeing through the system, aren't they? A lot of ordinary people will talk about capitalism being the problem. But they're still perhaps not going in a definitive direction, whether it's right or left. And I suppose the ruling class is in a bit of a panic, and so they need to promote the right.
I think the ruling class is in a panic, and they do need to promote the right. And we're living in a time when they're wanting to normalise things like genocide in Gaza. And they need extreme forces to be able to do that.
Yeah. And also just, I mean, there's that. And then just, you know, for millions of people living in Australia, like, they are absolutely stretched financially. They're struggling to, you know, keep a roof over their heads and just have the basics in life. And, yeah, like, we've seen this throughout history. Every time that there's, you know, severe economic crisis, which is an inevitable result of an economic system that's based on endless growth. Surprise, surprise, that doesn't actually work. And especially if you're like constantly pushing debt, like the only way to increase profits is to, you know, you've limited in ways how you can do that. But one way is to continually suppress the living standards and wages of people. Then, of course, and people do. They end up turning to the right wing, and the ruling class will, in really subtle ways, just promote far right as a viable alternative. But I wanted to just add as well, Alex, I've seen this not just in the corporate media, but also like increasingly in ABC. I hope that's okay to say, but I feel like they need to be called out. Their language is not critical enough. They are way too favourable in their reporting of One Nation and really racist things that people are saying in the Liberal Party, and are just, it's not good enough. ABC, I've noticed. we do read this stuff. We try to be informed. And, this isn't okay. I know what you're doing, okay? All right, good. But anyway, back to you, Alex. So I think you've kind of sort of already answered it, how the left can like counter the rise in support for populist right-wing politics. But I guess like one thing that we spoke about quite a bit at our national conference a little while ago as well was around the need for a united front in the left. Did you want to speak to any further around how the left can counter that rise in the far right?
Well, I think that there is more to say. I think what we do need is to be bold and strident in our solutions on the left, and to put forward a positive and confident alternative. Because in the end, we can't. The political centre can't just remain. You can't have a capitalist crisis like this, and then it just expects things to keep on going on as normal. Either things are going to be worse in the sort of far-right sense, or else we're going to put forward actual solutions that actually address the problem. Mm-hmm. And you see, one thing you'll notice is, Pauline Hanson's solutions never do that. She made a policy calling for, she made an appeal to Angus Taylor, who was talking about immigration. Yeah, but is he banning all Muslims? Bring in the sort of Muslim ban that Trump has supported, and other comments like that. Now, you can ban Muslims from coming to Australia, but that's not going to give you a house. No. That's not going to give you a rising living standard.
Yeah.
And the way that you can get a rising living standard is by breaking with the capitalist mainstream, which means breaking with the Labor Party. And it means, it means policies like ending these tax concessions. It means policies like, more public housing, all the things that even the Labor Party doesn't want to do. Now, I personally think it's a little bit interesting, the by-election that's coming up in Britain, in a very safe Labor seat. There's been Labor for generations, but the two front-running candidates, one is from Reform, the sort of far right-wing party, the other one is from the Greens. And the person from the Greens is a plumber. She's a young and new to politics, but very much inspired by the kinds of radical messages put forward by the new Greens leader, Jack Polansky. Zach Polansky. And And they've been very uncompromising. I think that's a bit of an illustration of the kind of future direction that politics is going to have. Either we're having a very popular, strident, genuine solutions-focused radical left ideas, or else we're going to be sort of going down the sort of dead-end far-right ideas. And the establishment, Labor and Liberal Party, are not going to be able to meet this this solution. Maybe not in the short term, but in the long term, that's the actual options that we've got.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important that people actively build the left, the radical left, and, you know, I guess wage that fight, you know, against the Labor Party for influence and control of the left. And I think it's worth remembering, in Australian history, there's not been a single major industrial advance won by a trade union led by the Labor Party. I mean, most of the big advances for working class people came from trade unions that were led by the Communist Party.
Mm.
Even though the Communist Party never had, you know, elected members of Parliament, one exception of in Queensland with Ed Paterson, but in general they weren't elected to Parliament, but they had big influence in the trade unions, and that was enough to actually win, you know, big advances, like, you know, pretty much all of the all of the major, you know, advances that we like to think of today. We need to do more of that. We need more grassroots struggle.
And we need
a stronger left, and that is actually the best answer to the growth of the far right.
Not to
prop up a sort of a failing centre.
Yeah.
But to build a strident left-wing alternative.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Do you have any final comments? We'll need to be wrapping up in a moment.
I think we've pretty much covered it.
I think that is the
real message for us is we can't. Yeah. Our job is not to give advice to the right.
We need
to build a confident and strident left.
And I
will just agree with you on the ABC. Like, I think the ABC very much is part of the corporate media, the establishment media. And they definitely falling short on
absolutely it's quite disgraceful. Thank you so much, Alex. We hope you have a fantastic day, and thank you for sharing your reflections on the Liberal Party and One Nation.
Bye,
thank
Alex.
You, have
take
a good
care
day.
Bye.